Welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles. I am Scott Wright of the Oklahoman, joined by Jacob Unruh. This is the Cowboy Chronicles podcast presented by Zaxby's. Cure your craving. Stop in today or visit zaxbys.com. Big day, Jacob. We got a special guest coming up in the next two segments. Clint Shelf, former Oklahoma State and Enid quarterback, going to join us. Really excited for that. Jacob, though, we can't ignore the fact that it's officially official. We teased it a little bit in our last podcast last week when you joined me on the podcast, but now it's officially official that you are joining me on the Oklahoma State beat.
What did Darla sing to you last week? Darla Smith, our high school's editor, reunited, and it feels so good.
Right,
I'm back with you on a beat. Last week was kind of the first like unofficial. Yeah, official,
it was the soft opening.
Yeah, so if you didn't catch on, I'm new to the beat. You know, you and I worked together for four years, I think,
on the high school beat.
Yeah, so I'm excited to be partners again. I learned a lot from you the first time, and so now I get to learn a lot more from you now, because this is a whole different ball game, is what I keep telling people, for me, because it's been high school's pretty much my entire career, and coming here to cover Oklahoma State, I'm super excited and ready to get going, and kind of thrown in on game week is kind of interesting too. So.
Right, absolutely. But the podcast studio, this is where we're comfortable.
Yes,
the News OK Varsity podcast took off under our watch.
It did. And then it died once you went away. So it's all you on this.
It's still on the table. I think Cameron's going to bring that back. Yeah, Cameron Jordan's going to bring that back, I think.
But we had a lot of fun on that podcast. We had
absolutely
special guests.
Did. Absolutely,
we
did.
Talked. Town nicknames was one of my fun favorite conversations.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And, food, you know, we had all kinds of stuff. So we're going to try to bring some of those elements here, I think.
And, lots of good stuff,
and make this
but,
fun. For
let's get just some early impressions, not necessarily about the team, but of just the environment around Oklahoma State. Being you got to go through one player interview session, one Mike Gundy press conference, and got to meet a few people. Early impressions so far.
It seems like everyone's ready to get going right now. You know, I come right at the tail end when everyone's already had camp, and I think they're tired of facing each other. But, you know, I think there's a lot of optimism right now, I think might be the right word. But there's also some questions, you know, obviously quarterback, defensive line. Some things are still – you're going to have to wait and see on Friday night to kind of see if you really have the answers there or not. And that's what really stands out to me right now. It's just kind of wait and see mode, I think.
Yeah, it feels a lot that way with as quiet as things have been throughout camp. Did have some news that's been creeping out here over the last couple of days. The Cowboy back position has been hit really hard.
Yeah.
Now both of these guys, Grayson Boomer and Jake Ross, were down on the depth chart. Not necessarily expected to be heavy contributors. I think there was a really good chance that Boomer was going to redshirt anyway.
Yeah.
But Bill Haston of the Tulsa World reports that Boomer tore his ACL, and so that will definitely sideline him for his true freshman season.
And he's a big time prospect coming into this year.
He absolutely was. I know you're very familiar with him as a high school player at Collinsville. He was a highly rated recruit on the Super 30 when you guys were putting that together. What kind of stood out about him as the high school?
You know, I thought
talent.
It was his athleticism for his size. I mean, he's pretty big. And talented, and he was a guy though that really I felt like Collinsville kind of underutilized a lot of times.
Yeah.
They mainly used him as a blocker,
right?
But he's got really good hands and can run, and they were just a run heavy offense last year. They had three running backs that ran for 1,000 yards or more.
Yeah,
and so really the focus was just to run behind him at that point, put him on the edge there, and you throw it to him every once in a while. But so I was excited to see him getting this cowboy back role to where he can do some different things to really kind of show how athletic he is. And now, granted, I'm with you. I don't think he was going to play this year. I think he was going to redshirt.
Yeah.
So this doesn't change much other than he's got rehab to do while he's redshirting. But I think, you know, in the future, he's a guy that you can really kind of see show his athleticism off.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other cowboy back news involved was that Jake Ross, no longer with the team. injuries have plagued him since he got to Oklahoma State in January of 2018. Just been a constant issue, and he's stepping aside, still enrolled at Oklahoma State at this point. So, being a Coweta native, you hate to see that for a local guy that was very excited about the opportunity. He had gone and had a really good career up at NEO, and looked like a guy that could maybe be a difference maker at the Cowboy back position, but just could not get healthy, couldn't get on the field. So tough there, but that thins things out. At the Cowboy back position, we also saw Dayton Metcalf get awarded a scholarship just last week, and so so now you're looking at three guys who none of whom played tight end in high school.
Yeah,
they're all at that position, with Jelani Woods being, of course, coming into Oklahoma State as a quarterback. Dayton Metcalf, a former quarterback at Hooker, and Logan Carter being a guy who was an offensive tackle and a defensive end in high school down in a small school in Texas. So. Guys who have transitioned to the position really well. They also lost Larry Joubert earlier this year. Over the summer, revealed that he a physical revealed that he had a heart condition, and so that position has been hit really hard with injuries, and you know, could be looking for some additional help. They do have a walk-on who has joined the program from Clinton, whose name
I was just looking at that here.
Valix Cisneros.
I am not entirely sure, to be honest. Pretty sure I never actually got to see him play in high school, so I know he was a talented player.
Looked athletic on film, so you know, a guy that that might need to be developed so that a couple of years from now he's one of those guys that can step in. They've got a commit in the 2020 class as well, so that's going to be an interesting position to keep an eye on looking forward. But for now, I think they're in good hands with Jelani Woods in particular. Logan Carter really came on, and then Metcalf got some valuable experience. Now, Jacob, later in the week, you're going to be writing about the safeties. You also wrote about the redshirt rule, which it sounds, unless Oklahoma State ends up in a lot more blowout games than they were a year ago, Mike Gundy's opinion of that rule hasn't really changed, has it?
Yeah, he's not a fan of the rule.
He's not.
I think particularly for juniors and seniors,
right.
He's not a fan of the
rule. Yes, he suddenly became very strongly against the rule when Jalen McCleskey announced that he was transferring last
year. Funny how that works out, right? Yeah, so he's not a fan of that, but he likes to use it for freshmen, and it makes sense. You know, you talk with Jason Taylor. I haven't talked with Kenyon Williams, but I'm sure he has the same statements, basically, that it's so beneficial that they got in there for three or four games, even if it was just special teams. You get that experience. You see the game speed. You see the crowds. I mean, because Jason Taylor played at Carl Albert High School. You get decent crowds in 5A, but you don't get nothing like you do at Boone Pickens or OU and Norman there, anything like that. And so, you know, that was hugely beneficial, and now they're both backup safeties going into Friday's game. So really the rule has kind of worked how Gundy has intended to use it, and he has no plans to change it. Skill players will get a chance on special teams at some point, probably not early unless blowouts. You really need to get some people in there, probably later in the season, I assume, like they did with Jason Taylor. And then the big guys, the big offensive linemen, you're probably not going to see them this year as freshmen unless someone really rapidly develops really quick and they need some help. But you're not going to see those guys like that, and that seems to me like a pretty good use of the rule.
Yeah, that said, the list of true freshmen expected to play has just sort of slowly grown over the last couple of weeks. He's up to six guys now, and it's a little unclear exactly who the six are. We definitely knew from the very beginning that Tom Hutton was going to play and be the starting punter.
He's also 29 years old. So.
Yeah, exactly.
And I feel weird calling him a freshman.
Yeah, it feels really weird. Thomas Harper was the guy in spring who really emerged, and it's become clear that he's going to be a backup corner and do some special team stuff. And then the ones that were a little bit more surprising, Jaden Jernigan and Trace Ford on the defensive line, because that's not really a place you expect a lot of true freshmen to step in and play right away. Trace Ford, just having walked past him the other day as he was coming off the practice field, looks like he's bulked up, and you saw him play in high school. Very talented athlete.
Oh, yeah. He's the thing that people really loved about him in high school was his first step off the line. Mm-hmm. He's so explosive, so fast and athletic. And Gundy talked about his baseball ability. Like that's why he recruited him. He saw him hit a home run in baseball a few years ago when his son was playing, I think.
Yeah, or stole a couple of bases.
Yeah, stole some bases. Like did all these things. He's just that dynamic athlete. Last year, he goes up and he tries to join the basketball team, but then fractures a bone on his foot, dunking the basketball. So I mean, he's that talented. He can go up and dunk a basketball. He's hitting home runs. He hit the walk off grand slam in the 6A state semifinals this last spring against Jinx, and it was a shot. I mean, if you go find that video if you can, it's worth watching his bad flip and celebration alone. But he's just got that energy and he's, if you put the weight on him like they did, I think, because I kind of saw him from a distance, and everyone's at Santa Fe is talking about it too, just how much bigger he's already gotten, and I think he's going to be a big time prospect player for OSU down the line. He'll contribute this year, but I think in the future it's really setting him up well.
Yeah, so that makes four true freshmen. Jim Knowles has said from early on that he thought Nadrian Desider would play at linebacker, that outside linebacker spot where they moved Malcolm Rodriguez to. We'll see if that holds true at this point. So that leaves two guys, I think, for that last spot, one being Cameron Farrar at linebacker. He's both those linebackers are a little bit undersized for this year, which is why I expected them to redshirt. But obviously the depth concerns there are pretty significant. And then the only guy on offense that I see having a real chance at playing is Langston Anderson at receiver. Right now listed as the third team guy behind Tylan Wallace and Tyrell Alexander. So it's hard to say whether or not he'll get that opportunity, but I know that that Casey Dunn is very excited in what he's seen in Langston Anderson. He's got a little bit of a James Washington type build, a little bit of a thicker guy, some big arms. So curious to see what. Not trying to compare him to James Washington at all at this point. Just the eye test. He passes for sure. So be interested to see how that goes. And of course, we won't really know a ton until we get to that fifth game mark, and we see who's still coming out and playing at that point. But it's here, Jacob. It's game week, man.
It's game week. Welcome to the beat, right?
Right.
Here we go. Game week on Friday.
Now our next podcast, we will have the mailbag segment. Be sure to tweet at me at Scott Wright. Okay, email me swright@oklahoman.com. We'll get those questions answered in the final segment of our late week podcast, which will be a little bit earlier because it's a Friday game. We don't want to make you wait until right before kickoff to try to squeeze in the pregame podcast, but we'll get it out there nice and early for you, so you have some time to check that out. But be sure to jump in for that. And coming up next, Clint Shelf, our special guest. This is the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. Welcome back to the Cowboy Chronicles. I am Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh. Special guest right now, Clint Shelf, former Oklahoma State quarterback, Enid legend. Is that a fair term, Clint?
Legend. You're giving me a little bit too much credit on that.
I'm sticking with it. That's all right. But Clint, we really do appreciate you taking some time to join us. You are a guy who has experienced a quarterback competition similar to the one that's going on at Oklahoma State right now. You and J.W. Walsh, your senior year going into 2013, kind of looking back at that season and in particular the preseason, what were some of the challenges that you faced in trying to prepare yourself when you're splitting reps and trying to win the job and also get yourself ready to go win games?
Yeah, it's unique and it's difficult. Anytime you're in a competition, obviously is at a high level, you want to win, but at the same time, JW and I were good friends. And even going back the year before that, when it was myself, JW and Wes Lunt, the competitions at a quarterback position are just really difficult to know where you stand as a player, but also I think from the other side of it's really hard to evaluate quarterbacks. And so I think that's why you see, Oklahoma State continually going through that process is the things that you measure a quarterback by, there are things that are, you know, intangibles that you look at that, you know, you can't just quantify with a, you know, he as a receiver, he dropped this or ran the wrong route. You know, you have to look at body language, attitude, you know, decision-making. And those are things that are really tough to gauge. And so going through that process is from a quarterback standpoint, you know, it's just always tough to figure out where you stand and kind of, you know, where you're at on the power rankings for winning that job, because you obviously want to be the starter, but at the same time, you want to give the team the best chance to win. And you're also friends with the guy that you're competing against.
You mentioned that, and that's been a big selling point that Mike Gundy has really stuck to with Drew Brown and Spencer Sanders, being that they're really close guys as well, and they get along well, they help each other out. Is that a unique thing to the competition? Is that difficult to maintain because you are at the end of the day trying to beat the guy?
You know, not really. I mean, they're guys that you know, no matter how many years are in between you, and I remember coming into the room and Zach Robinson was, you know, 4 years older than me and had been there a long time, and we became close friends, and it was with Brandon, and you just spend so much time with that group of guys that, you know, it's not really that difficult to maintain that friendship through competition because, you know, you're around each other all the time. So, I mean, if you don't like each other, it's just kind of an awkward deal. So you kind of get used to, kind of get forced to a little bit since you're around them all the time to be friends. But, you know, the guys that we've brought in, I think, over the years have all just been, Coach Gundy does a good job of recruiting guys that are just, you know, good people that are fun to be around. So, you know, it's really not that tough at the end of the day. We want what's best, or at least I did. I know I wanted what was best for the team, and it just so happened that I felt like that was me, and they didn't feel like that early on. But, you know, I think at the end it kind of played itself out.
Clint, there's always a talk competition makes players better. They bring out the best in them. Is that the benefit of this maybe? Is it you will get the best out of a player?
You know, I think pretty much in any sport I would agree with that. I think at the quarterback position, I think it can sometimes be detrimental just because it's such a unique position that, you know, it has inherent leadership in it. You know, guys are looking to you. You're the decision maker, even if you're not a natural leader, you know, a hoorah guy in your face. They still look to you because you have the ball and you have to make the decisions. And so, you know, it's one of those deals where it's just so unique. I don't necessarily think competition's always the best at that position. I think you know, having someone to push you, but I think it's always best for the team and for the offense to have a guy that they can look to and they know, okay, you know, this is going to be our guy, this is who I'm looking to, and we trust him and understand that, you know, he's going to make the right decisions for us as an offense.
Now, me just thinking back, it seems like you and JW in particular were fairly similar in the types of players that you were. You had your differences, but you were somewhat similar. Am I remembering that right? First of all, and then did that sort of bleed over into the playbook and allow the offense to sort of run similarly, no matter who was at quarterback?
You know, you would think that we had similar skill sets. JW was kind of known, and especially later in his career with Mason, as a runner, and he was a short yardage, tough guy. And I think, you know, I had the ability to run, but that wasn't necessarily kind of what I was known for. So I think, you know, our skill sets were similar, but I think the way that they approached us was different. I'll never forget going into my senior year, the Mississippi State game down in Houston. We almost had two completely different playbooks, you know, put in for that game. We had my set of plays and I was starting, and you know, when things didn't go well and they took me out, we kind of changed the offense to a midline read so that it fit JW and it just kind of worked better against the front that Mississippi State had. So I just, you know, we did have similar qualities. I think anytime that you have a quarterback who can, you know, move around and run a little bit, that obviously helps. And so we had some of the similar, you know, run, you know, zone read options. But it was just, you know, it's just one of those deals where, you know, both athletic, can move around a little bit. And so we kind of got lumped together. But at the same time, we had different, you know, playbooks kind of for each of us.
I wanted to ask you about that Mississippi State game in particular. because you like you said, you did both play in that. Were there times, especially in that game, where you maybe felt like you were pressing or you were competing, trying to win the job? Or once you're on the field, does that take over and you're just trying to do your best to win the game?
No, that was part of it. And that's why I don't necessarily agree that competition is always best for quarterback. I felt like I had to go out there and play perfectly because I knew that there was another playbook installed that, hey, if they're like, you know, this isn't working, let's go to this other one, and I'd be out of the game. So I absolutely think that there was some of that. I felt like I needed to really press and try to make, you know, plays and make the perfect throws. And so, I was always in the back of my mind, especially that going into that game, because we really thought that the midline run game would work against Mississippi State just because they were three down and, you know, they were aggressive with their alignment up front. And so, you know, I'm thinking, okay, you know, if we don't get some first downs here, I'm probably going to be out of the game. So I'm trying to force throws. And so, that just kind of goes back to why I don't think necessarily competition at the quarterback position is always best.
And there's also been a lot of talk that it does take away some reps too. Did you sense that was a little bit of a hindrance at all, particularly in camp?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, you know, our situation, at least my senior year, was a little differently, that J-Dub and I had both played the year before, but, you know, a deal like this where neither of these guys have played really much at all. I mean, at Oklahoma State, I know Drew has previously, but, you know, they're splitting reps, and so you're not getting that one guy that's getting all these game reps. And so I definitely think that there's something to that. And the year before with me, you know, my junior year, when there was three of us, I mean, it was like you got five reps in team apiece with the ones, and that was it. So you're not really getting a ton of, you know, cohesion with that, with the line and those receivers. So that, again, is one of those reasons why I'm not always sold on the quarterback being a competition.
All right, let's take a quick break. We got some more with Clint Shelf coming right back on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. We are back on the Cowboy Chronicles presented by Zaxby's. I'm your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh, and we've got our special guest, Clint Shelf, on the line with us. Clint, let's move away from quarterback competition stuff. You, tell me if I counted this wrong, but four offensive coordinators in 5 years, is that correct at Oklahoma State?
Unfortunately, yeah, that is correct.
what was that like? Or maybe it'd be more interesting to talk to you about the 1 year when you had Todd Monken for 2 years and got to enjoy having the same everything the same for 2 years in a row. But what are the challenges that a quarterback faces when the coordinator changes, even if the offense isn't changing that much?
Yeah, and that's one thing that, you know, Oklahoma State, that the Coach Gundy's done a really good job of, except for the first year when we changed from really Coach Gundy to Dana. After that, the system kind of stayed the same. And so it was really nice. And I think that's what's, you know, going to be beneficial for Spencer and Drew, is that, you know, it's kind of the same system. It's just those guys, those new coordinators with Gleason, he's going to come in and put his, you know, wrinkle, his twist, his flavor on it. And that's kind of what we went through with, you know, after Coach Gundy, we brought in Dana. It was Dana's system. And then Coach Monken took it and kind of morphed it. And then Coach Yurcich took that and kind of morphed it. And so that's really the good part about, you know, I guess if there's a benefit to having a new guy in there, it's that Coach Gundy made sure that the system stayed the same. You know, the one thing that is difficult, and the one thing that you really have to get used to, is just their personality and how they want to call games. And you have to kind of, you know, that's another thing that you get reps with and get to understanding how they like to call a game and when they want to take shots. And you know, with some of the guys you're in sync with Coach Monken, you know, we kind of knew when he'd want to be aggressive and you know, really almost what play he was going to call before he called it. You know, you just got to get used to their personality and how aggressive they want to be. And you know, there's certain situations where, you know, the audibles might be different. So say, you know, there's a blitz off the right side. Some coordinators just say, hey, you see that blitz? Let's just check outside zone to the left and run away from it. And some guys say, hey, let's slide protection into it and throw and take a shot because they're weak on the back end. So, you know, there's just little things that you have to get used to, their personality as far as how they like to call games.
So as a college student, how do you handle so much change like that? What do you have to prepare mentally different or anything like that? I mean, how do you deal with so much change? And was it, I assume it's a breath of fresh air when you get a coordinator for 2 years in a row at that point.
Yeah, I felt like I'd had a guy my whole career when I got him for a second year. I was like, man, this is awesome. I know this guy again. Yeah, it's tough. And then, you know, you sprinkle in, you know, I was going through a quarterback competition, new coordinator almost every year. It's just, you're only 20 years old. You're not really even that mature yet. You're in college. You got class. So it is. It's a lot to handle. But, you know, like you said, those years where we got the same guy again, you know, that really is really beneficial. And I think, you know, that's something that Coach Gundy is looking for is stability there. And so, hopefully Coach Gleason can come in and do a good job and hang around for a little while.
Looking at the program as a whole, something that that Coach Gundy has really been pushing a lot harder here lately. I don't know how much it was talked about when you were there, but I know you're familiar with the program. The Cowboy culture, I think, is something that fascinates me because every recruit that comes through is constantly talking about, you know, what the culture is like, the family atmosphere, all of those sorts of things. What was that like at the time that you were coming in and sort of how did you see it sort of grow and build into what it's become?
Yeah. I think Coach Gundy, that's one thing that he really harps on is, you know, not only the family aspect of it, but, you know, just having fun with each other and bringing in guys. Like I said earlier, he usually recruits guys that come from good families that are fun to be around. And, you know, I'd like to think that the groups that I came through with, that we had a part in helping shape that. And, you know, I think it's just kind of this, they set the foundation and really, you know, we tried to build on it. And now you can kind of see what it's come to today. And, he's done a really good job of trying to keep, with all the coaches he's been losing, of trying to keep that continuity and that culture together, which would be difficult. And I think, you know, anytime you have that much turnover, it's one of those things where the culture could break down, but Coach Gundy's done a great job of trying to keep that all, you know, that persona and that culture together.
All right, one other thing I wanted to ask you about, and this is a little bit selfish, but I remember there was a period in your career, particularly when quarterback competition stuff was going on, that the quarterbacks were made off limits to the media. Was that fun for you? Did you enjoy the opportunities to talk to the media? We've established in this interview that you can handle yourself with the media pretty well. Did you enjoy getting that break and not having to worry about it from week to week, or did you miss it a little bit?
Oh no, I hated it. I would have loved to talk. I mean, I enjoyed, you know, talking to the media. I think at that age, and it's something now that I look back on, but I didn't really, you know, understand it then, is, you know, anytime you're talking to the media, you're in front of cameras, you know, that's exposure. And it's not necessarily even for maybe football, but it's just good exposure for the rest of your life. You know, people are seeing you, they're familiar with you, they can, you know, whether you want to get a job later on in a completely different field or whatever, you know, those are skills that you develop when you're, you know, talking in front of people. And I think you know, I still managed to get in front of the media a little bit while I was there, but I think, you know, that was one thing that I really was not too keen on and too happy about. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, he makes the decisions on that. We just kind of had to roll with it.
All right, Clint, I have an off the path question of OSU related.
Yeah.
We've established you're an Enid legend. Enid has a new coach this year, Rashawn Woods. Have you been around? What do you think of his prospects there? And I mean, in the excitement level around the town about Rashawn.
Oh, it's you know, Enid's really an Oklahoma State town. And so obviously that was a big part in hiring him. And I've gotten to have lunch with him and met with him a couple times. And I work with the quarterbacks in Enid a little bit. So I've been around him. You know, he's brought a lot of excitement, and you know, I really hope that he can do well. The things that he's going to have to, the obstacles that are going to be in his way are going to be challenging. I mean, Enid, you know, when we were there in high school, we were, you know, 9-10 win team for a couple of years, and then since then we've been a 1 or 2 win. Last year, 0 wins, I think. So the main thing that he's going to have to battle is really getting excitement in the kids and getting kids to come back out. You know, that's one of those things where I think last year, the last game, they had like 40 kids out for a 6A school. That's that's not going to get it done. And so, you know, he's really going to have to work to establish a culture, kind of like, you know, we were talking about at OSU, that's exciting and that wins games. And, you know, he's going to have to start doing that from, you know, maybe the elementary school and build up and get those kids out and have them enjoy football. And then, you know, kind of have that translate and get those kids to stay out up through high school. And so they understand the game and like it. And, you know, one of the things that we've seen recently is there's a lot of little schools around Enid. And when I was in high school, you know, kids from those schools would move in to play with us because we were good. They knew they had a chance to win games and have fun. And, you know, in the last few years, we've had kids that leave and go to play at those schools. So I think that's another obstacle that he's going to have to overcome, is not only stopping those kids from leaving, but trying to get the culture back to where those kids want to move in and play. So I think his track record and what he's done in his previous jobs speaks for themselves. You know, they went from, I think, no wins to state championship or state game. So, you know, hopefully he can bring that same success.
All right, Clint. Again, we really appreciate you doing this. It was fantastic. Thank you for joining us. And that'll wrap it up on the Cowboy Chronicles. I am Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh. This is the Cowboy Chronicles, presented by Zaxby's. Cure your cravings. Stop in today or visit Zaxby's.com.